You have two ways to receive one gift. One way is you can receive it in a very subdued, intimate, quiet manner. And another way is you could receive it in a very loud and over the top and flamboyant kind of way. I wonder which way you would like to receive the gift. You pray with me. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, Lord. May you speak through me, if not because of me, in spite of me. And God, we ask that you, by the power of your Spirit, would give us humility and wisdom and ears to hear that which you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There is something that fascinates me. I say fascinates me because it fascinates me enough when I look at it, but I actually know nothing about them. So, you might have to educate me after service. But this thing that fascinates me is a single individual bird that looks like this. Does anybody know what kind of bird it is? Flamingo, right? Which is a great photo here of this flamingo. But perhaps something that even more so intrigues me is when they look like this. And I love that their heads are all just kind of like straight up like that. You know, I don't know why they do that. I'm sure there's a reason, but I like to think it's because they all think they're better than the one beside them. But when they're in a group like this, they're called does anybody know what they're called? Flamboyance. They're called a flamboyance when they're in a group like this, which makes total sense that they all think they're better than the other one beside them. I mean, all of this is just humor, just waiting to be pulled apart. One thing I do know about them is I know how they get their pink color. Does anybody else know? Yeah, if you've been to Animal Kingdom, you know this one, because they say it on the safari every time. It's what they eat. It's the shrimp that gives them that pink color. Honestly, I kind of just wanted to show these photos, and then I was like, how can I make the sermon around these photos? But here we had the individual flamingo, and then when we get a whole bunch of them, it's flamboyant. It's suddenly big and colorful and bright and lots of interesting characters to look at. And one is more subdued, one is more calm in nature and manner, and one is, well, a little more over the top. I wonder if you've ever read scripture and noticed that it seems like maybe the disciples get the Holy Spirit in two different times. I wonder if you've ever noticed that. I wonder if you've ever noticed that it not only does it look like the disciples might get the Holy Spirit at two different times, but it also is two very different experiences. Which then, of course, makes us ask some questions, like one of which, like, why did it happen twice? Did the first time just not take? Like, did they just not receive or get it or understand? So why was the second time necessary? And then also, why were both times so very different? And I actually think that in those questions and in the two different experiences that we see, that perhaps we learn something about our call as Jesus followers, as individuals, and our call as Jesus followers as part of the body of Christ. Now, I know many of you are probably thinking, Brian, I don't recall two. I don't even have really any clue what you're talking about, and that is completely fair, because one of them is actually pretty easy to miss. And usually, we see it at Easter, not Pentecost. So let's go to this first one. Just a little context this that would be helpful for you. This scripture that we're about to read is from the day that Jesus was resurrected. Mary Magdalene has already seen Jesus. The rest of the disciples and apostles had not seen Jesus yet. And they were hiding at this point in time. So let us read. This is John chapter 20. And the scripture of 19 through 22. When it was evening on that day is the day that Jesus was resurrected. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews or Jewish authority, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You see, it's such a short, it's really only three verses there, and it's easy for us to miss because it is only three verses, but it's also easy for us to miss because we're always celebrating the resurrection at that moment, because it's Easter Sunday usually for us, and we're excited about that. And it's easy for us to miss that the Holy Spirit has some role here that's happening as well. You see, the disciples are all gathered in this room out of fear, as we read from the text, that all the disciples except for poor Thomas, which the next verse you'll start to learn about, next two verses from there, you'll start to learn about what's going on with Thomas. But in that room, we have the disciples, and we don't know for sure, but there's no reason to think that there weren't other followers of Jesus than the ones that we know the names of. But there was people in that room in fear. And I think it's probably helpful for us to put ourselves in their shoes to really understand what they're experiencing in that space. I wonder if you can put yourselves in a moment where the person that has led your group for several years, that you have given up everything to follow, has been crucified by the power of the day. And then just put yourself in that space to say, "Oh, if they went after Jesus, who are they going to go after next? Probably the people who were pretty close to Jesus." So you can perhaps put yourself in that space and understand a little bit of the dynamic in the room. They were hiding out of fear for their lives and truthfully hiding from an uncertain and unknown future. It's in that space of uncertainty and unknown that Jesus enters into the room. Jesus says to them what I imagine is probably a pretty familiar term for them at this point in time, but "Peace be with you." This is not the first time Jesus has said this to them in the Gospels of John, the Gospel of John. And so I imagine it's something that maybe he said every time they faced a difficult moment or something that they struggled with. But this "peace be with you" is very similar words to John 14, which you may be familiar with. And in John 14, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." There's a sense that with God's presence in Jesus Christ, that there is a deeply rooted way of being that all will be right in the world. That in Christ, there is this sense within the disciples, and hopefully within us today, although I'm sure we wrestle with this, that in Christ, things will in fact be as they need to be, even when the cloud of uncertainty surrounds us. And after saying these words, Jesus shows his wounds to them and then proceeds to breathe on those present. And if you are a germaphobe in the room, you're like, "Ugh," right? Like, that just, you're really going to love a quote that I'm going to share with you in a little bit too, if that's you. But bear with me. But in some ways, when Jesus goes and breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," this is actually in reverse order of what happens in John 14. Because in John 14, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit and then says, "Peace I give you." In this one, he talks about "peace be with you" and then gives the Holy Spirit. It's just this interesting dynamic that they're showing there's a connectedness here that is important for us to recognize. So Jesus breathes on them saying, receive the Holy Spirit. And this breath, you may remember, sounds a lot like the very beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. When God forms human beings, what does God do? But to breathe the breath of life within them. That they are formed from the dust and God breathes life into them. And that sounds a lot like Jesus breathing over the disciples saying, receive the Spirit. Receive life. But not just any life, but life that stems from the source of all life. From God. In the first giving of this of the Holy Spirit that we see here, to the disciples, there is intimacy. There is a peaceful moment of celebration. And you have to imagine that there's a sense of excitement, relief, and it's all going to be okay. Because of all that they've experienced. And now Jesus is here. And not only is Jesus here, but Jesus is breathing life into us. There's a proclamation here from Jesus that you are worth giving life to because you are loved, because God's the one who breathed life into you in the first place. There's theologians and ethicists named Snyder and Young. They work together, but they wrote this. This is the part that if you're a germaphobe, this may be difficult for you. Breathing is profoundly physical reality. An exchange of elements carried mostly below or beyond the scope of human vision. Made of air, breath is not empty. It is laden with molecules, moisture, and the breath of other creatures. Pumped by lungs, breathing is muscular and emotional. Breath and breathing are physicality and sensuality at their most elemental. You see, when God gives breath to human beings, it wasn't just empty air. You don't just breathe empty air. It was filled with God's essence, with God's life. That is why we exist, because God gave us that gift. And on a side note, who are we to ever say that gift is not valuable? When Jesus breathes and gives the Holy Spirit to these disciples, it is again giving of God's own presence. There is a passing of God's presence that will continue to remain with them, allowing them, these disciples, to be formed and shaped inwardly by knowing that the God that has defeated death, that the God that is powerful beyond all that we could imagine, loves them and calls them children, and cares for them enough not to leave them alone, but to be with them. And that is the same thing that you and I can carry for us today as individuals. In this first, more quiet and subdued giving of the Spirit, we see that the disciples are empowered to grow as individuals. As individuals in their love of God and in their love of others. It is more focused to the person. And the same is true for you and for me, that God sees us and knows us and gives us the Holy Spirit in our lives so that you and I, by practices that we do, we can continually grow in what it means to be a Jesus people. And what it means to receive love from God and to give that love to others. You may have heard this called before personal holiness. This is that growing in perfected love as individuals. And truth is, we could stop right there, and that alone would make Pentecost Sunday enough to celebrate. That the God who spoke the universe into existence cares enough about those individuals hiding in a room that God would be there. That God spoke the world into existence cares enough about you as an individual that when you're in the most difficult spot where the room feels cold and the future feels dark and uncertain, that God is there with you. That's enough to celebrate. And that's what we see in this subdued more manner of intimate giving of the Spirit. It is not, though, the only time we see this. God doesn't stop there because, yes, it's about us as individuals. That is holy and completely true, and it's also about something bigger than us as individuals as well. It is an invitation and an opportunity for us to be about part of something bigger, to be a part of the flamboyance, if you will. Perhaps not holding our head high out of it because we're better than others, but because we're so excited to be a part of this bright and colorful experience. And we see this, we heard it in the reading by Rosemary, but just a couple verses to hear again from that. Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. In this version of this Holy Spirit being given and coming down, it's much bigger, isn't it? This is what we associate with Pentecost Sunday. In fact, in medieval times, they used to make this a significant celebration with dropped roses from the ceiling. They would have these patches that were really just for Pentecost Sunday that they could open up and drop roses all over everyone. Right? It's this big thing where fire and loud wind is coming through, and you're going to notice there's no not noticing this dynamic. The Spirit in this moment is giving in a loud and fueled and energetic way, an inspiring way. A way that perhaps would call a collective group of people forward. That would call a group of people and excite them like a coach who's trying to get his team excited to go out on the field. To go out and be the presence of God for other people by the way in which they love and care and serve the community and those around them. You see, this moment where the Spirit of God is given, this moment is not just about the personal individual. This moment is about the collective group being inspired and pulled forward by the Spirit of God on mission together. Because it is after this that we see Peter goes and preaches this sermon that transforms and changes lives. It is shortly after that that we start to see the way they live in community together, trying to seek to meet the needs of all those around them, of loving and caring for those around them. You may or may not know this, but the mission of the United Methodist Church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. To make disciples, that is that individual spirit that is more subdued in changing the life of the individual. And then why, what is that for? That is for us to be on mission together in this Acts 2 of the Spirit going out to transform the world. For us and our mission here, we are a Jesus people, loving, growing, and serving. These are individual things that we are doing as we're growing by the Spirit of God for ourselves, for Zelwood United Methodist Church. No, for the sake of the world. It is that Acts to the Spirit of God calling us and moving us to care about the holiness of the world around us.
That's, for us in our terms, social holiness. That God is calling us towards greater love as individuals, but also calling us as a society to be more loving and caring. Pentecost Sunday is about the giving of the Spirit and the beginning of this movement we call the church. For us, it's a reminder that God cares about you enough to empower you with God's very presence, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that is with you and before you and behind you and around you, and is every day asking you, how can you become as an individual more like my love today? And it's about us collectively on a journey together, being called forth on mission together to ask our world, how can we become more loving and more like God today? How can we show people glimpses of heaven on earth? In full transparency, I feel a lot of like, oh no, this thrift shop project is going to be a lot of work and significant. And I also feel a lot of excitement. Because if we do it well, if we do it right, if we do it inspired by God and this mission that we are on, then it is a way in which we as a community here can be there for and help those in need, like we see in Acts chapter 2. You see, friends, Pentecost Sunday is for you. It's for all of us. And the Spirit of God is for the sake of the world. You pray with me. Lord, we give you thanks for your very real presence, that the Holy Spirit is, in fact, God. Not secondary, not other than, but God. So we thank you for your continued presence with us. May your Spirit continue to do a work within each of our hearts, our minds. May you continue to challenge us as individuals in the ways in which we need to become more loving in our thoughts, in our habits. May you encourage us in the ways that we are loving well. May we know your peace that you promise us in the places that everything feels unstable. And for us as a community, God, may your Spirit continue to drive us forward. May your Spirit continue to work through us. May you continue to inspire us. And may you continue to help us to find ways to get glimpses of heaven on earth right here, right now, with the community around us. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, if you're